Okay, looks like we got everybody in.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for participating in session B of the leave of absence method change. We are very excited to bring you this kind of news and this change because it's going to mean that our operations are going to be changed just a little bit. And this meeting will go through that change and the change that we'll be going through within Presagia, the leave of absence tracking system as well. So let's just get right into it. Okay, so the change is going to be of the calculation, the FMLA methodology. Currently, we are on a 12-month period, meaning that January 1 through December 31st is going to be the eligibility period for FMLA. That will be changed to what's called the rolling back method, and we'll get into the details. We'll review the transition, how the change will be reflected within Presagia. And then finally, we'll be giving a tutorial of Presagia and let you know how the change will look in the system. Okay. So effective January 1st of 2022, the County of Ventura will be changing the way it establishes the method. So that new method will be effective January 1. Of next year. Again, the rolling 12-month period measurement will be looking backwards, and we'll get into that in those details. During this transition period between November 1st this year, 2021, and December 31st of this year, 2021, the county will apply whichever calculation method affords the employee the greatest benefit. And we'll get into the details of what that looks like. So the transition. As previously noted on a few meetings in the past, we had a few examples of what it'll look like. So example one, in an employee request to begin FMLA CFR leave on March 1st of 2022. Looking backward to March 1st, 2021, the employee has used no FMLA leave during the 12-month period. Therefore, the employee has a balance of 12 weeks. So in the example, it's the visual is presented that we look back the 12 months and we see that no time has changed. And again, therefore they have the 12 week balance. Okay, example two goes through an example of which they have already used some time in that 12 months. So an employee requests to begin FMLA CFR leave on March 7th, 2022. So looking back to March 7th of 2021, the employee has used 4 weeks of FMLA in April, as we see here, and an additional 4 weeks the following month for a total of 8 weeks. In this example, the employee have used the total of 8 weeks, therefore, starting the request period, they have 4 weeks available to them. In this case, if we were to adjust the time and the employee requested a leave beginning, let's say at the end of April, then the time, the frame that is in the 12-month period would actually peel off that April, meaning that they would have the 4 weeks that would be eligible plus the new 4 weeks that is now being an eligible period for that month in April. And again, we'll go over some ways that Presagia will help us with this method because this is for your information and how the system works. Presagia itself will do the calculation for you, but it's a good idea to understand what the FMLA look back period is doing and how it's going to be applied. Okay, so that 60-day transition period. So that period between November 1st and December 31st, we will be processing our leave of absences with the greatest benefit to the employee. So there's roughly about 8+ weeks left between November and December. So depending on the entitlement and the balance, it may very well be that the 12-month method is the best. But for the look back period, it also means that that may be the best for the employee, as the date is not cut off by the December 31st threshold. There is a caveat that except where prohibited by state law, leave taken under state statutes will run concurrently with FMLA. This may change. As you know, the CFRA has expanded its coverage for family members. So there may be examples where an FMLA leave will qualify for both entitlements, CFRA and FMLA. And there may be some examples where it only qualifies for CFRA based on the relationship of family members, for example, grandparent, grandchild. So in those cases, CFRA would run on its own and FMLA would then be not following concurrently due to the relationship. And also under PDL, the pregnancy disability leave, PDL and FMLA run concurrently while CFRA is reserved for bonding. So those are some examples in which they may or may not run at the same time. So again, new leaves beginning November 1st and December 31st will be to the greatest benefit to the employee. We are highly recommending that for those new leaves beginning in this period, if you do have any questions or would just like to double check, do so by emailing the DMD mailbox. We will be conducting some audits just to make sure that we are aligned with the greatest benefit to the employee. So that'll be there to support you. But if you are creating a leave and you do see the entitlement and would like to double check, please let us know, email us. We would prefer that you include the leave case number or at very least the employee ID number so we could look it up. And then we will just go ahead and review that case and let you know that you are on the right path. For leaves already taken, employees that are currently on a leave, on approved FMLA CFRA leave during the current year will do so and there will be no action needed. They will continue to be on that leave and will progress through the return to work or the end of that entitlement run. Okay, presagia. Now, what will presagia look like during this kind of transition? Well, these slides will be provided to you at the end of the presentation, so they'll be used as a reference. On the left, we see a number of instructions of how to create a new leave. This is basically the same process that you have been doing normally from the start. So just as a refresher, we will go to a select action, request a new leave, confirm your leave reason, confirm dates, and then the eligibility wizard will pop up, and that's where it'll be a little bit different, and we'll go over that. But to let you know that there is a change, there will be a little video to show you exactly where to go. So as we go through the case, it's going to collect the information that is required. In this case, it's going to be a medical. We are going to confirm our dates. And as we go through each of the wizard that we're creating a new leave, we'll do so per our normal process, confirming the dates that are on the request, uploading and confirming the method of which it was requested, the request form is more likely what we have. So I'm adding the request form here and I go to next. And as the system kind of calculates and captures all of the information, the next wizard that pops up after the leave case is created will be the eligibility. And this is where the presagia system will calculate if any time was used in the last 12 months of during that eligibility period. In this case, there has been no weeks used in the past year, and we see that the time taken is going to be between the dates that we are requesting. Okay, so that's what's going to be new. It's just that eligibility wizard. Okay, to go back into example one, where we had the employee that requested a leave March 1st of 2022, we look back to March 1st of 2021, just as we described. And now, as an example, we see that the entitlement portion in Prosagia reflects that time. So this employee used 0 weeks, just as an example, and will then be entitled to the full 12 weeks that is located here. So they have the remaining 12 weeks because 0 weeks were actually used. Example two is where the employee actually took time off in the past 12 months. So in this case, the entitlement does reflect that 8 weeks have been used and 4 weeks remain. So just as the example that we've already reviewed, this employee was requesting a leave March 7th of 2022, and we look back to March 7th of 2021. We see the 8 weeks are used, and therefore the Prosagia system will calculate the remaining time and give that time as the remaining balance of the leave of absence under FMLA, CFRA, or other protections. Okay. Well, that is the presentation, all, and I did leave some time for potential questions and answers. So does anyone have a question at this time? Go ahead and use the chat box and we will review maybe an example that you have or just general questions that you have about the method change.
And while we're waiting for people to maybe put in just questions or thoughts that they have, just want to really once again reiterate the point that the rollout begins November 1st. We will, of course, be providing you with all of the presentation that Jess did today. We will email you the PowerPoints. We will also post these trainings onto our intranet sites. But just want to really make the point that November 1st to December 31st, you must consider every leave, looking at it under both methods. And I really do want to echo Jess's recommendation that you are putting these particular processes through DMD just to make sure you're doing it to the greatest benefit of the employee. As of January 1, 2022, then immediately as of January 1, we go to this look back method. So those are going to be a really important transitional window. And as you get new things that come up, it's going to be very, very important that you're asking questions so that we are getting these right as we roll through the transition and into the official start date where there's only one method on January 1st. So there is a question about what communication will be sent to employees regarding the change. So there is going to be an email that goes out, hopefully at the end of this week. It will be from Sean Otten. A memo already went to agency directors regarding the change, as well as to all of the union representation. The email that will go, or the memo that will go out on Friday, is an all employee notification, and it will explain the change, how it will work, and the effective dates. To that point, the follow-up question of, or should the communication be coming directly from the HR reps? In that memo, certainly employees will be directed back to their HR reps for questions if they have questions as to how it might apply to them going forward. So that was the reason we wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to share this information with you first. And then from here, that way when the memo goes out at the end of the week, if you get questions, you have the training materials to rely upon. And of course, we're all here to answer questions that you might have along the way. Okay, so here is another question. Is a new leave of absence request needed, or will it roll over to 2022? So you want to answer that, Jess?
Yeah, with great happiness, I will tell you that the recertification process will no longer be needed. So those new cases that are in November or potentially even approved through December, your long-term ones will not be, no sort of recertification will be needed. They will carry over and they will do the calculations as the time that they work or do not work progress.
So we're hoping that's the happiest news for everyone here, that the whole recertification year end will not be required. So that will put people to, you know, if they come to you in December and they have 12 weeks available to them, you're just gonna start the leave December 1st and it'll roll right through for 12 weeks into 2022, at which point then their FMLA will be used. And you know, and then we, of course, will look at other benefit entitlements they might have, but their next eligibility then for FMLA will require the look back as we move forward. So hopefully that's really great news for all of you, or we're hoping that's a really positive change. Let's see. So we have another same question. So let's see. One of the questions is, does Presagio do the calculations for both rolling and calendar timeframes?
So starting November 1st, we're actually in the testing environment testing which methodology Presagio system will use. For now, it looks like they'll provide the best outcome for a leave of absence. This is something that we are still confirming and we want to make sure, which is why we are highly recommending that those cases that are being built November 1st are just double checked, because that is a good way for us to spot check that the system is working correctly in the live environment. And yeah, we can send any communications out, but we are testing that. Anyone that has access to the testing environment can go in and look what the system will do in the future. So if there is a case that you just want to see, you can go ahead and start it November, let's say 15th, and run it all the way through and past December, and you'll see what the system will do. Again, that is the testing environment, and we are making sure that it runs absolutely smoothly before we bring it into production, but you'll be able to see a snapshot of what the system will do.
And I think that's a great point that Jess raised, which is that, you know, and that certainly, and Jess in particular has put a lot of time in with Presagio to get all of these pieces in place and the rollout to hopefully go very seamlessly. But, you know, like any new production, sometimes there's just going to be things that may come up with a maybe an unusual case fact pattern or some little glitch along the way. This is where us understanding and getting support from DMD during this transition where you have to look at both methods for the 60 days will help us to make sure that not only are we all doing this correctly, but if you come across something that's unusual or out of the ordinary, it allows us to make sure that we can go back to our contacts at Presagio and make sure that everything's running exactly as it should be. Which, you know, then I think makes it so that January 1st, where we're now to only one method, and it is, you know, this look back method, everything will have already been really vetted out and we should have hopefully very smooth sailing. So this, you know, just the November 1st to December 31st is going to be the period of time where it's most important that you are making sure you're reaching out and asking your questions and getting support through the disability management, the DMD mailbox. Okay. Any other questions? It seems they are quiet at the moment.
Okay. So. Yeah, just to let you guys know as well, on your long-term leave of absence that we generally had to recertify because we just had to see if they would be eligible and they're, let's say, out for more than a year, you can continue that process the way it is. So again, if they're on an approved leave and FMLA entitlement has already dropped off and they're on an accommodation as a leave, or excuse me, a leave as an accommodation, you can continue that via the medical certs that you receive. If there is a time in which the employee will gain entitlement back, you will receive a worklist item confirming that the system recognizes that entitlement has been gained. But the good thing about that is employees will have to return to work or, you know, come back to work so they could remain eligible for the FMLA entitlement. So for those long-term ones, it's just continue that in one, you know, case. So you don't have two cases that represent one long leave of absence.
So there's another question saying, you know, regarding the no longer needing to recertify when someone extends their leave, is that just as of January 1st for previous leaves or for all leaves going forward? And no, just to be really clear, so the recertification we're talking about was under the calendar year, you know, you had 12 weeks of FMLA available to you, for instance, right now in 2021. And when we got to December 31st, if you still needed FMLA, and had entitlements going into January of 2022, you had to open a new leave because now we had to start to run for the new calendar year. So that's what we're talking about, is for people who are FMLA eligible late into 2021, if they have 12 weeks and that 12 weeks pushes them into 2022, you don't have to open a new leave for them as of January 1, 2022. All other leave extension processes would be exactly as they already are. There is a question, and maybe Ken and Courtney would like to jump in on this one. Do you think this will impact benefits, for example, insurance or flex credits in any way?
It could. I mean, due to the recertification process that made employees entitled to the flex credit, it kind of bridged that period from 2021 into 2022. So it could negatively impact the employee as far as benefits. They may have to come in with more money. It just will depend on if they've had a prior leave history or not. I also want to mention, we're so used to putting in BCHRP and end date of the last day of the year of 12/31. So that will no longer be the case. You can move forward now and leaves will be put into the new year because of that recertification process no longer having to be done. There's no need to end the leave at the end of the year. You'll put the leave out as far into the new year as you have approved.
Great, thank you, Ken. So then there's a question, will the same process or workflow apply to the new ambulatory care clinic employees in Prasagia as well? Go ahead, Jess.
The plan, and great question, Anthony, by the way, is the plan is for those folks that were assimilated, we'll still keep the operation that we have, double checking that if they do have the hours worked, and that'll be good until their first full year. So we'll be doing that kind of spot checking for those folks until approximately the end of June when they first were hired into the system. At that point, the Prasagia system will take their hire date for the county and the hours worked, and they will go forward under that entitlement, and we will not have to double check with their hours worked from their previous entities.
Will flex calendars be provided for 2022 for health benefits and life insurance?
Absolutely. Thank you for the reminder. So we'll probably be working on those along with all the open enrollment communications we're doing. So look forward to those probably sometime next month.
Great. I like you were so affirmative too in your answer. It was really wonderful. Rarely in absence management is something so absolute. So that's great news. Okay, leaving it open just for a couple more minutes here, just to make sure we recognize this really is fundamentally a very big change. It doesn't change what is the legal standard, which is that we are, as employers, all employers, we are required to offer 12 weeks of FMLA within a 12-month period. So nothing is changing as it relates to that. But from a workflow perspective, it is a big change. And we recognize that probably just even, you know, to Ken's point, the idea of putting in the end date in VCHRP, some of these things have been so automatic for so long. when you find yourself actually setting one up, what might right now in theory hopefully feel fairly straightforward, you may suddenly say, oh my gosh, am I allowed to do that? And can we do that? Can we process it this way? And that's where we want to make sure you are asking for support. And certainly if there's others on your team who assist in any way with your leave processing, who were unable to attend today or tomorrow, we really strongly urge that everyone is communicating back to your team. We will email you this information, as I said again today, and try and send out some reminders as we hit various milestones in the rollout. But it just really is important that anyone who is doing this within your operation is aware of the change. Shockingly, November 1st is right around the corner here. So this is a good opportunity between now and then to make sure everyone has received the information, that if there's questions, you're getting them asked and answered. And again, that you're looking for support, you know, all the way through into early 2022 as you're setting up the new leaves. We want to make sure we're here to support you so that everybody's getting this right from day one. Well, yeah, thanks, Anthony. So I think, you know, I appreciate that. And I hope that people do recognize that a lot of the things that have kind of come to light that we've been working on collaboratively between DMD and benefits and, you know, across the board are things that really are in response to feedback we've gotten from all of you who are really the ones who do the heavy lifting on the front lines. So a lot of these changes, I think, they do speak to, you know, increased, hopefully, efficiency for you. It takes away the burden of this year-end certification. We think it will have positive impact operationally for, you know, bring in, and it kind of staggers it out. It really customizes the employees leave facts are specific to them and to when they needed leave and when they might need it again. And so we think it really does speak to a lot of different issues that we've heard from many of you now for a long time. So we are really excited that this process is in play. We recognize the 60 days where you have to do both is a little bit feels like, oh gosh, it's one more thing on top of a year and a half of a lot of things. But I think once we get into early 2022, you're all going to find that some of the other stuff that really drains your time and efforts, especially when you had to do the recertifications for January in the midst of the holidays and everything else, just being able to sort of alleviate that piece, I think is going to be, you can take that time and energy and put it towards other things within your operation. I think that's definitely, you know, a win-win for all the stakeholders. So we very much appreciate everyone's partnership and really do hope that, you know, as these things move forward, that you feel it is really responding to what you're doing and having a voice in this and being heard. Yes. And Lorena says she's excited to see the process. It's been talked about for a long time. And Lorena is one of the people who's been talking about it for a long time. So yeah, this is many, many voices through many, many years of, you know, kind of moving this forward. So a big thank you to everyone who has been patient enough to, you know, not give up on it and help us to move it forward. So I do think it's going to produce some good results. It's just going to be important that we're really paying attention starting November 1st and very thoughtful from November 1st to December 31st. And, you know, like I said, and then when you get into January, when you feel nervous that you're approving a leave through into 2022 and you're not sure if you can really do that, you know, just call and ask. So great.
Catherine.
Yes.
I just wanted to piggyback what you said earlier about the excitement of having this new process. And when I first started with the county, we had to take all their paychecks and add up the hours that they had on there. So we've definitely come a long way. So I'm very excited about this new process. And the eligibility system is great. So everyone who's been around for a while will know, they'll have a comparison to make.
That is a really great context. So thank you for sharing that. And for those, it makes me think of my assistant, Gloria Houston. She retired last Friday. And one of the things that I mentioned in reviewing her personnel folder was that one of her early assignments was to process the payroll microfiche. So, so it really is, we've come a long way. So it's a whole new time. So yeah, I appreciate that, Ken. And I know there's lots of people on this call who've ridden lots of different, you know, waves of changes, but do really feel like this is one that hopefully speaks to just making this a much more efficient process for everyone. So it's nice to feel like we've gotten there, and hopefully you're all gonna, you know, sort of feel the effects of not having to go through the whole end of year certification as well. So it's exciting times for sure. So, all right, we don't see any other questions. We kind of were joking around with yesterday's group saying we set a bunch of time aside for these trainings because we just really didn't know how many questions people might have and wanted to make sure we did get them all answered for you. So I think probably some of the questions will come up when you really have real world examples. So again, we welcome that. We encourage it, and we look forward to supporting you through this. Please do pass any training on to anyone who wasn't able to attend within your teams, and we will be sending out these periodic reminders, and hopefully those are good times for you to just take a beat and make sure, am I thinking about this right? Do I have these things processed correctly? You know, and fair warning that probably late this week, the email will go out, the all employee email. So some of you should certainly expect that. I would think with that, you'll have some employees late this week or early next week who will have questions for you. And again, we're here to help you through those if you feel like you need that support. So I think, unless there's anything else, we've done it for today. Great. All right. Well, thank you everyone for your time. We look forward to hearing how it goes once we get to November 1st.
Hi, everyone.